to NEF. Would you give them a hello? Give them a cheer. Great. It's great to have you here with us. And real quick, what is NEF? It's New England Fellowship. And, you know, what are we about? We started this church 10 years ago. Somebody help me. But, you know, our vision's really, really simple. We want to be a place, a church, and I think we are, where we just love worship. We love to get together and overflow in worship. And we wanted a church where we can raise our hands, we can dance, we can get on our knees, we can sing in tongues, we can prophesy, and all of those things without being weird. But we just love God's presence. And I am the worst, because every time we say we'll worship for half an hour, I worship for an hour. I just love doing that. So we're a church that loves worship, loves the promises of God, loves the message of who we are in Jesus. And we want to take that seriously. So if you're watching today, it's great to have you with us. Let me mention a couple of things as well. I know Linda and I put out a post on social media this week. We'd really love it if we could help people in this area as well. And we'll figure out the mechanics. But if anybody is at home alone, or if anybody would like it, if we could deliver a meal to them, or even talk with them on the phone and pray with them, or just be there and bless them, we want to do that. So anybody in this Norwalk, Darien, New Canaan, Stamford area, we want to be reaching out to you and sharing and showing the good news of Jesus. Amen? Agreed. Right. Hey, real quick, we're going to take our offering as well. And, you know, I was sharing this in Sturbridge this morning, but do you know God wants to create history with us? Agreed? Have you ever thought about that? God likes to build history in you. The Bible is a collection of stories of people who had experiences with God. And one of the dangers in that is we look at it and we admire it and we go, wasn't that wonderful? They did these great things in God. But we should also look at the Bible as an invitation to have the same experiences. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I'm going to preach to Kylie here. I love it when Peter sees Jesus walk on the water and something in Peter says, can I have a go? And I think we should read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts and say, can I have a go? And I think God wants to build history with us. And I was sharing this morning how Jesus sent the disciples out and he said, when you go, don't take anything. Go. And he wanted to create in them experience that he really is faithful, that he'd come through. And then at the end, the day before he went to the cross, he said, guys, when I sent you out, did you lack anything? And they said, we lack nothing. And he said, no, it's okay to take a bag, take a spur coat, take shoes, whatever. But God wants to prove himself to us. And I think so often we miss opportunities to build history with God. The great thing is when we build history, it's like we take a step of faith and suddenly it gets easier the next time. Yeah. Whenever you take a step of faith, you take ground. Whenever you take a step of faith, you destroy fear and intimidation. And it's like you increase the place of the tent of your experience with God. So even as we give today, I encourage you, why not pray about, I'm not talking about giving to this church, but giving to something else, doing something new, about stretching your faith. Why not make, I want 2022 to be my best worship year ever. I've decided I'm going to upgrade my worship life. It's not bad. I mean, I like where I am in worship, but I want to worship more. I've set time aside on my calendar every day. And I want to worship more alone. I want to worship more with people. I want to get more. Some of you know what I mean, but I've been doing that long enough of playing guitar. You can get into a rhythm. And sometimes it's like I want to get violent and push out of my normal. And God, I really, 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 really want you. And I encourage you, and I'm not talking about in giving to this, but take some ground with God. Believe God for something. Why not send somebody on a missions trip or, you know, help pay for something? I'm not telling you what to do. I'm saying ask God to drop something, take ground, build history with God. So, Lord, as we give to you today, I pray this will be a year of new places in giving, new places in receiving, new places in breaking free from the bondage the world would put upon us. Yeah, Lord, I pray that we'll take ground with you today. That as we take risk, faith risk, I believe your hand will be revealed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Boom. We're going to, do we pass this around or what are we doing these days? Can I just throw this around and we'll see where it lands? Good. Hey, I don't want to be too long tonight, but if you have a Bible, I want to go to Romans 8. And I am going to spend the whole month of January. Do I have to stand? Can I stand here, Linda? How long is my rope? But I've just been thinking and talking about the Spirit-filled life. And what I'd like to do today, I want to talk about being led by the Spirit. Okay? So, hallelujah. God wants to lead us by His Spirit. Agreed? God does not want us to live like every Tom, Dick, and Harry, or the Joneses, or whoever. Hey, if you will, pray for Leah, by the way. Leah is at home with no heating. We woke up this morning with a frozen pipe. Oh, the joys. That's why Leah is not here. And calling fire from heaven down on pipes. But I think God desires that we'd have this life where we're not simply walking around like everybody else. And also, we're not simply living only by a set of good principles or wisdom. I think God's got a plan for every one of our lives. Come on, would you agree with that?
I agree with that.
I sat down with one of my kids, and I won't say which, the other day. And I was talking about, this sounds foolish to say, but I was talking about my plan for their life. Not like you've got to do this and rather that, but rather, here's what, as a father, I want your life to be. Here's how I want you to flourish. I'm not telling you where to live, but I want you to love where you live. I don't want you to feel trapped there. I'm not telling you who to be, but I want you to be with somebody that meets at least the important things. I'm not telling you what career you've got to have or whatever, but I want you to love what you, I want you to be challenged by what you're doing, but I want to find the thing that makes you alive. That when you do it, you're not simply like working at the rock pile, you know, doing things, but you're thrilled and challenged and love the things you're doing. And I tell you, God has a glorious plan for every one of our lives. Come on, do you know God is looking at the world and God was not surprised by COVID. God is not looking down going, oh my Lord Jesus, what are we going to do? Holy Spirit, what are we going to do now? Do you know God has a plan for everything? God has seen every single thing the enemy will ever do. God has seen everything you and I will ever do. And He's not surprised by it. Yeah. He's not, He's never disappointed in us because He never really has any false expectations in the first place. He knows us, He sees us, and He loves us. And yet, God is going to love us no matter what we do. But God has a, you know, the best, if you will, God has a glorious plan for our life. And I think Holy Spirit, one of His roles in our life is to be the guide who comes alongside, the one who leads us, the one who helps us navigate life, the one who helps us stay away from danger, the one who brings us into the plans and purposes of God. Hallelujah. I've had my life saved several times by hearing from God. I really have. I've shared that here before. But I was once in India in a cricket ground. I'm about to preach. And suddenly, the Lord spoke in my heart and said, run. I'm like, you want me to jog? Go jogging, Lord. I know. Yeah. And it's like the Lord said to me again, run. And I'm on a stage on a cricket ground. There's, you know, a couple of thousand people. I'm about to preach. It's a lovely summer evening. And the Lord said, run. Third time. And I got my friend off the stage and I said, we need to run. And he said, run where? And I don't know. Run. And we started running. True story, a tornado, I guess you'd say, not a hurricane, a tornado blew into this town, right into the cricket ground, and it took the stage we were on and smashed it. And suddenly this rain, I've never seen rain go where the whole place was flooded. You know, one of these kind of flash flood crazy weather systems you don't have in Europe anyway come in. And I think my life got saved because I heard from God. But I think at every level of our life, God's got the right people for us to be with. He's got the right circumstances, the places, the place to be. He's got thoughts about everything. And I think He invites us into a walk with Him where we learn to, as Proverbs say, lean not on our own understanding, to acknowledge Him in all our ways and He will direct our paths. I think God wants to speak to us to save our lives at times. I have a friend who was once preaching in Arizona, and this was back in the late 70s, early 80s. And the church there was going to send one of its elders to Russia, behind the Iron Curtain at the time, to visit, you know, the believers there. They'd taken, you know, money and Bibles. And my friend was preaching there, and they asked him to pray and lay hands on this man who was going to travel the next day to Russia. And as my friend laid hands on him, the Lord said to him, "Tell him not to go." And my friend started having an argument with the Lord and going, "Lord, he's bought his ticket. They've raised thousands of dollars. Everybody's happy and cheering. I'm going to look like a right fool if I say, God says, don't go." My friend tried to pray for him again. And it's, again, the Lord said, "Tell him not to go." And this guy, I know, he had so much respect for the leading of the Holy Spirit that he said, "I'm sorry, I believe God's saying, don't go to Russia." And this church had so much respect for this guy's ministry that they canceled the trip. 3 days later, his appendix burst, and they rushed him to hospital and saved his life. And they actually looked and thought, if he had been in Russia, he would have been in the middle of Siberia, hundreds of miles from anywhere, and come on, God knew. So I just today want to give you a few quick keys to growing in hearing from God. Okay. I mean, key number one, I always love starting here, is humility. Can I say this? We're going to get this wrong at times. Nobody said amen to that one. Come on, it's really true. I think if we're going to learn to hear from God, and we're going to learn to be led by God, we actually have to be okay missing it at times and okay getting it wrong. And if we're so precious, we're so holy, we only will deal with perfection. Everything that comes from God is perfect. And everything that Graham gets involved in is imperfect. Everybody's nodding. And then there's you guys. Come on, whenever we're involved, suddenly we know in part, we see in part, we see through a glass darkly. Any time that we were engaged, we bring our own. You know, whenever you're trying to be led by God, you will be influenced by your own desires. Come on, let's be real. Do you know, at times it's really, really hard to break out of what you really want. It's very easy to think that what you want is really what God wants. Yeah, and I think God wants us to actually acknowledging that and seeing it is the first key to getting free from it. And I believe He wants us to live a life where we recognize that. It's actually quite easy to get out of that thing of between what you want and what God wants. The answer is worship. The answer is where you acknowledge, God, I think this is you, but God, I also want you to do that thing as well. And that you keep seeking God for God. You don't seek God for guidance. You seek God for the guide. You seek Him for Him. You seek Him for His presence. Yeah. I was saying this morning that the destination is not the destination. Relationship is the destination. God doesn't want to get you to a destination. God wants to get you to transformation that comes through relationship. And the goal of being led by God is not to arrive. The goal of being led by God is to develop a relationship where we can recognize His voice, we can lean on Him, and we can lean into Him. And when we're in that place where we're not really sure, is this me or is it God? What we've got to do is love Him, is worship Him. You know what I've learned, and you guys have too, is the nearer you get to God, the less you hear from the enemy. Yeah. Whenever somebody comes to me and says, Satan said this, and Satan said that, and Satan's been... I'm like, why are you listening? I mean, draw near to God, He will draw near to you. The more you press into God, the less you'll hear the enemy. And the more you press into God, the less you'll hear from yourself as well. The more you press into God, the more you are in His presence, the things that are not of Him, the desires that are not of Him, begin to wane, begin to diminish in His presence. So I want to give you four quick keys, excuse me, to hearing from God today. Number one, it's really simple. God's got a plan. God has a plan. You'll never be in any circumstance where God doesn't have a plan. One of the amazing things about God is it doesn't matter how much we've messed up, how much we've missed it, how much we've stepped away from the mark, God has a plan. Come on, you guys. One thing I love about God, God's will is prescriptive. God says, do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this. But God's will is also redemptive. God says to some young person, stay pure, stay holy until you marry the right person, marry one person for life. But no matter how much they mess it, if you've been married 4 times and you're now living with a guy like the lady in John chapter 4, Jesus comes and his message is redemption, redemption, redemption. But I want you to see that tonight. God's got a plan. Yeah. Being led by the Spirit is all about capturing the heart of God's plan and then saying yes and amen to that plan. And I just think if we, it's not our job to conjure up the plan. It's not our job to invent a plan. It's not our job to manufacture a plan. It's our job to realize God's already got a plan. And all we need to do is not try to figure it out on our own, but say, Lord, I want to know your plan. Lord, lead me into that plan. Yeah. So come on, think of any person, think of any circumstance. God's got a great and glorious plan for them. Come on, key number two, being led by God is all, it's not about information, it's about relationship. Agreed? God does not want to give you information that you run off on your own and try to do something with. God calls you. God actually calls us, I believe, the longer we walk with him, to grow more and more dependent upon him. And if we're honest, what our flesh would like, our flesh wants God, but our flesh would like to be independent of God. Our flesh wants the money, the resources, the wisdom, the connections, the things to do, the things that we think God wants us to do. And God's calling us into this place of relationship. And the way we move from one level of leading to another is by moving from one level of relationship to another. So in 2022, if you want more leading of Holy Spirit, press into more relationship. Spend time with him. Talk with him. Ask him questions. I think God wants us to be circumstantially insecure and relationally secure. It took me years to get this. But I think the promises, I used to think God's promises were promises to my circumstances. And then I realized one day, no, these are promises about a relationship with him. God doesn't give you promises for your home or for your car or for your nation or for the, he gives promises for you. And the promises of God are about building a relationship with him. And what we've got to do as we walk through every single circumstance of life is to be saying, Lord, I want to meet you in a new way in this circumstance. Meet you in a new way in this situation. Lord, I want to upgrade my walk with you. Hallelujah. So, I don't know if you've thought much about that, but I think God really loves it when we're in this place and we feel really, really insecure. Can you relate to that? You know, when you're in a place where you don't know what you're doing. Yeah? And again, I just want to say that all of us like to be in a place where we've got this all figured out. We've done this 100 times before. We know what we're doing. And God loves it when we don't know the next step. God loves it when we don't know the next word to say. God loves it when we don't know the next song to sing. God looks at everything we prepare and goes, that's nice. Amen to preparation and diligence. But sometimes he's like, move it out of the way. I have this perverse thing in me, but I'm growing in it, that at times I really like being in that place where I've no clue what's going to happen. And it's like something in me comes alive. And I tell you, that's what faith is. And God wants us to be, if we live a life where we've got every little thing worked out, we've got insurance for every eventuality, we've got a plan B, C, D for every little thing. The danger is we're leaning on our own understanding, not leaning on God. And like Abraham in Hebrews 11 verse 8, it says Abraham left not knowing where he was going. Yeah, I think some of our most glorious experiences in life can be where we don't know where we're going. But we say, Lord, here am I, lead me. Here am I, Lord, guide me. Lead me in the way that I should go. Amen? Come on, key number 3. Won't be long tonight, but what was key number 3? We need to commit to a lifestyle of learning if we're going to be led by Holy Spirit. I think God wants us to be lifelong learners. I've noticed this in my life. I know a group of people who they always talk in absolutes or superlatives when it comes to hearing from God and being led by God. God told me to do this. God told me to do that. God leads me. It's like in their own mind, they think they never make mistakes. But what I notice is they have very little fruit in their life. It produces very little. They talk in absolute, God told me this, God took, there's never a, the people I see who shape nations, who do amazing things, they're really humble about saying, I think this is God, but I might be missing it, but I'm going to go with it anyway. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I'm going to follow the leading I've got. And I think the more we can stay into that place that says, I am learning to be led by Holy Spirit. I'm not an expert. I don't want to be an expert at it. Because when we're experts, we stop learning. We stop growing. Yeah. So how do we build a learning lifestyle? Come on, number one, learn to keep asking God questions. I think God likes it when we come to him and we just keep pestering him. And we keep saying, Lord, what are you doing here? Lord, I think I've got some of your plan, but I want to keep asking you in case you've got more that I haven't yet seen. Lord, what do you think about this? Lord, where do you want to go? Lord, what do you want me to develop, to learn, to embed? What do you want me to get rid of? We keep I call them prophetic questions where we inquire of the Lord. And I think if we'll stay in that place, you know, in England, when somebody passes their driving license, they have to put an L plate for learner on the vehicle for the first year. It just tells everybody else, keep away from Sandy. Noah. Hi, Sandy. I'm joking. Come on, I want to wear an L plate in the spirit for the rest of my life because I want to keep learning and I want to walk with people who are learning, not people who think they've got it all figured out. Jesus said in John 11, the Father resists the proud and the upright in heart, those who think they know it all, but he gives revelation to the little children. So let's stay learners. How do we do that? We keep asking questions. Come on, here's a great key as well, that when you want God to lead you, don't be, I know this upsets charismatics, but don't be led by a dream and a feeling of that. Let them be part of God's leading, but take your dream, take your feeling, take your sensation, take your scripture that flies, and bring it back into the secret place. Learn to stay in a place where you're inquiring of the Lord. To me, that means you walk with God for a season and you hold it lightly in your hand. You walk before the Lord and you say, Lord, I'm willing to have you kill this or take it away. I just keep praying into it. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. And I think when we'll do that, God will lead and guide us. Come on, another key. Have people in your life. Have backups. You know, the Irish have a saying, if all your friends tell you you're drunk, put your keys on the table.
Listen.
There we go. And I think we should have godly people in our life. We don't need to obey them or follow them in some weird submission thing, but that we can go to and say, hey, I'm thinking of this, and what do you think about that? Do you see God? Sometimes we see God's leading for others better than we see it for ourselves because we're not so emotionally invested in it for other people. And have people who can speak into your life. Yeah? Hallelujah. Come on, let me end with this one, but I think the Lord's got such an incredible plan and purpose for the church. I've arrived at this new place in my theology. I have no clue what God's going to do with the church. And every time I hear somebody's answer, it's going to look like this, it's going to look like that, part of me goes, nah. I mean, I don't disagree with them. I think they're only seeing one little piece of what he wants to do. And I think any time we lock into one vision, there's a danger of so deciding what God will do that we limit the Holy One of Israel. We put God in our little box. And even all of our good boxes, all of our God's, it's going to be like this and it's going to be like that. And we need to, amen to all of them. Most of the ideas floating around the Christian world are not wrong. They're just shallow compared with the heights, the depths, the lengths, the breadths of the glorious things that God's going to do. And I think so often we compromise the plans of God, the exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think plans of God, simply because we put him in our box. We've decided what he can do and what he can't do, and we limit him. And I think God wants us to sort of take our hands off our definition of where he wants to take us and what he wants to do. And I think he wants to literally blow our minds. Yeah. So come on, here's my very last suggestion to you. Here's my methodology. Every day, invite God in. I don't want to give you a magic thing. There's no method. But sometimes just asking, saying each day, Holy Spirit, you've got permission to gate crash my life. You've got permission to jump in. You've got permission to orchestrate my steps. I can't tell you how many times I prayed that in the morning and then I have some amazing conversation. I was sharing this morning how once the Lord said, your car's going to break down, but don't worry about it. It's going to be good. And you end up witnessing to somebody for 2 hours. Or I probably shared this before years ago, but once I'm preaching in Belgium with a young Swiss guy and I've got to drive to the south of France. We finish, get up on a Tuesday morning in a drive, 10 hours to back to Lille in the south of France. And I'm just literally getting on the highway in Belgium. And me and my friend and I, we pray that prayer, Lord, we want to witness to somebody on the journey today. As soon as I pray it, I get like this bump in my wheel, like the tire pressure's wrong. And I've got to, if you're going to spend hours on the highway, you don't want a weird thing going on in your wheel, do you? So straight away, I saw a service area, on the Belgium highway. And I pulled in there, and I checked my air pressure. It's a funny thing, but before I left, I checked the air pressure of my tires. When I checked my air pressure a week later, one wheel had too much pressure in it. Now, maybe I'm missing something, but I know that air can leak out of a tire. How can it increase? It's not... guys, you help me. I don't know much about cars, but I understand you can get low, the pressure can go down, but how can it increase? Temperature or something. But, and I'm there in Belgium in the pouring rain trying to get this pressure right. And suddenly this German guy comes and taps me on the shoulder and he says, are you guys driving near Paris? And I go, yeah, we're going to the south of France. We're going to go around Paris. And he's like, could you give me a ride? He was hitchhiking. And straight away, I suddenly realized that it's like the Lord had spiked my tire and just got me. I got my tire right. Said, yeah, jump in the back. And we got on the highway, and this German is sitting in the back. And somebody had given me a CD, one of those testimonies, 23 minutes in hell. And I said to my friend, hey, pass me that CD. And we put it on. And I drove to Paris like a bat out of hell, 95 miles an hour, meow, down the A5 highway in France. And this testimony of this guy going to hell and seeing all this poor German, occasionally we'd look in the rearview mirror, his nails were in the seat. And when we dropped him off in Paris, he was like, could you guys pray for me? Come on, here's the point. I think if we give God permission to gate crash, if we're willing to be inconvenienced, we're willing to allow him, invite him in. Come on, as church leaders, I think we do that. But at times, we probably don't do that enough. Or sometimes we're getting so busy doing the things of the Lord that we say, Lord, what do you want to do here? Hello? Guilty at times, yeah. And I think if we'll ask him, he's not trying to mess up our day. He wants to bless us, but he wants to lead and guide and take us to amazing places. So let's pray as we close. Lord, I pray that you will lead us this year. Lord, I pray that you'll lead us away from things this year. I pray that you'll lead us away from temptation, lead us away from foolishness, lead us away from time wasting and silly disputes that don't bring purpose and life and joy to people. I pray you'll lead us away from the strategies of the enemy, lead us away from sending money to people who write in the mail and it's not a real thing. I'm kidding. Lord, I pray you lead us into the plans and purposes and the heart of God this year. Lord, I pray we'll know you're leading in big things, in relationships, in purchases, in travel. But I pray we'll know you're leading in the mundane, everyday things. Lord, I thank you that you've got the right donkey for us to ride in on. You've got the guy with the pitcher of water. You've got all things are working together for our good. And Lord, I just pray that that will be our testimony. Lord, I pray that we won't be following the world or the enemy, but we'll be following you. And I pray you lead us through life. You lead us in the pathways of righteousness for your name's sake. And Lord, I thank you that goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. And we will dwell in the presence of the Lord forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bless you guys. We're still live, I don't know. So, hey, just if anybody's still watching online as well, we just want to bless you. If we can pray for you, help you in your journey with God, be there for you. Again, if we can bring some food to your home in any way we can help, we would love to do that. Check out the links below and we'll find a way of doing that for you. Wonderful. Good. So we bless you guys. So we're